I want to ask you about beards. I knew because I'd written a book set in the 1840s that as late as 1850, men in the United States didn't wear beards, and beards were a strange, if anything, a kind of continental affectation. Suddenly, at the time of the Civil War, everybody had to wear a beard. And it's not coincidental. Those are connected histories, yeah?
I was always puzzled, actually, by the fact that, you know, you look at pictures of the quote-unquote founding fathers, and they're all clean-shaven, every last one of them. And then you look at these Civil War guys, and almost every last one of them has this great, big, bushy beard. And I thought, well, why is that? And actually, I've talked to a few Civil War historians about this, and most of them just sort of look at me as though I were asking a really weird question. Well, guys in the 1860s just had beards. And then one or two said, well, it's because they were out on the battlefield and it was too hard to shave. Okay, maybe there's something to that. But in fact, I found that beards were something that became really popular years before, just before the Civil War. People were talking about a beard movement in America. And it had to do with these sort of obsessions with manliness. Beards were seen as something that were strong, that were masculine, were uncompromising. If you shaved your beard, you were sort of altering your appearance in a way that was seen as effeminate. The compromising politicians in the 1850s, like James Buchanan, were known as doughfaces, actually. And so when Lincoln came in and became, just after he was elected, grew his beard, became the first bearded president, this was a very visual symbol that something had changed.
And what's interesting in the 1850s and 60s, it was suddenly this fashion on both sides, this obligation South and North.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the fact that both sides were growing beards all of a sudden actually bespeaks sort of less trivial, more profound things about what was going on, not just on their faces, but within their souls. Both sides sort of became obsessed with, for one thing, a kind of a romantic nationalism that you know about well, Kurt, from 1848. There had been these revolutions that swept through Europe, these nationalist uprisings. And beards were associated with those uprisings. They were a fashion that had started over there in Europe at that time, been brought to America. And so both Northerners and Southerners had those kinds of passionate, militant, patriotic feelings that were expressed on their faces.
And then by the 20th century, poof, no more beards.
Exactly, yeah. You had, I mean, for a long stretch, for about a half a century, basically, you almost couldn't get elected president unless you had facial hair. And it's been almost a century since we had a president with facial hair. In fact, well, if you had facial hair and were a former Union general from Ohio, there was about a 1 in 3 chance you could become president of the United States, you know, in the 1880s.